Jesus, I just want to call upon you. Father, I call upon you. Holy Spirit, I call upon you. I deserve nothing from you, God. And I'm only asking by what Jesus has done, by his effort, that you would make anything I say glorifying to you. That you would help me, Lord, to convey yourself. And that you would be the one that is left on people's minds. And that your truth would prevail. I ask that you bless anyone that's listening, Lord, with the passion of your word and the Holy Spirit. And to live holy, Lord, and soberly, Lord. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Everyone, listen. We are in, I would say, dark times. This is the worst that it's been in the world. You say, well, how is that the case? Because the entire world has moved closer and closer and closer to the one world religion, the one world order that the Bible speaks of in Revelation. We're closer to that than any other time before in history. We are closer to the days and the book of Genesis, where we were building the Tower of Babel, from technology and the communication that we have from the internet. All of the wickedness of man is contaminated and moving in one direction. The belief in Jesus Christ, the belief in God, is not a driving force. It is wickedness that is prevailing. As you look around and you see what's happening, and it's hard to see it in this country. It's hard to see it in this country, but in other parts of the world, terrible things are happening continually, along with the physical calamities from weather and so forth. They're happening. And here's my encouragement. Here's my encouragement. And it's the encouragement that I'm leaning on and trying to fight for in the midst of all the distractions of this world, is to lean on Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that is, it's to look at what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for you and hold that. Hold on to that. Look at what he's done. Look at his life, his death for us, his resurrection to declare that we're new and we're forgiven and we belong to the Father. And we are now called to walk in holiness and love. And let's fight for that. And trust me, that is hard in these days. Everything is different. We live in a day where covetousness is on the rise. I have to fight that every day. You have to make more money to live now than you had to 30 years ago, 20 years ago. Before, people needed just a high school degree, then next a college degree, then now a graduate degree. And now it's even worse than that. Relationships are even harder to maintain now. Relationships have changed completely with all the new laws and legislation that's been passed. When our kids growing up are going to have a different concept of relationship and what they look like. The concept of marriage and what it means and the sanctity of marriage has been compromised in this world, where it means absolutely nothing. And a divorce is a quick fix. You can go online and go to a link and set up a divorce. We live in dark times that are totally against everything that Jesus taught. And I want to share this with you. And I know that it's going to be something that it's going to be very hard to receive. But Jesus says in John 16, you will go through tribulation. He says, in this world, you will have tribulation. Let me explain something to you, family. There are so many Christians around the world being beheaded and persecuted and killed for Christ, that when I hear Christians say to me that they're going to somehow escape that, us Christians in America, we talk about escaping tribulation period and say, oh, that's the worst thing. God would never punish his own people. If we ever just sat down and really read Revelation and not have anybody else spoon feed Revelation to us, you'll see that the thing that Christians are going through is exactly what our brothers and sisters are going through in other parts of the world. They are being persecuted. And the only thing that is charging their strength is the power of the Holy Spirit, is the promise of eternal life in Christ. It's the promise of eternal life. There is this notion of people talking like, I don't want to get left behind. I don't want to get left behind when Jesus returns. There is not a Bible verse that teaches that Jesus will leave anyone behind, that he's going to somehow come from the clouds, take people and return. The Bible does not teach us that. It teaches that he'll meet us in the air. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, that our Lord will come and descend with a shout and meet us in the air. He's meeting us in the air en route to planet Earth, where he will change everything as we see. Everything. But he is not leaving anyone behind. There's no shame towards anyone in the tribulation. The Bible does not shame anyone in the tribulation except those who refuse to worship God. In Revelation 6, it talks about all of the seals that are opened until the last seal is opened in Revelation chapter 6. People look at that and think that the Bible's in Revelation's in chronological order. But as you can see, in Revelation chapter 6, when the last seal is opened, Jesus returns. Is showing different pictures of what's going to be coming, the kind of punishment that's going to be happening. And at the last seal, right before the last seal, it says that people, even as they're going through all these calamities, even as the world is falling apart, sin is prevailing, the weather is killing and wiping out people, people are still going to be caught up in their idols and caught up in sin. That's what the Bible says. And that makes me tremble. That doesn't make me think, oh, I want to get out of here. No, that makes me tremble, because guess what? The reality is that this is happening already. You see this happening. I'm guilty of it myself, where the world is going through so much suffering and persecution around us. But because we're in America, we don't feel it. And we continue on with our own stuff. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ is saying to keep our eyes focused on him. And the persecution that is happening in tribulation is the same persecution that's happening right now. And there's no shame towards anyone in a persecution except those who, while all these things are going on, they're not looking to Christ. They're not trusting in Christ. The Bible esteems those in tribulation who have not named the name of Satan and continue to name the name of Jesus Christ. It talks about in Revelation chapter 7, it shows all the saints who have been beheaded. In Revelation chapter 6, all the saints that have been beheaded go up to the Lord and say, Lord, when are you going to come avenge us? There's no shame. They didn't say, Lord, why did you leave us? Or, Lord, I'm sorry because I wasn't right, you know, when you came the first time. No, it's all part of the package until Jesus' final return. And Revelation chapter 20, it says that Jesus is going to return with all of the saints. And those who have been beheaded for him in Christ are going to reign with him. Those who have been beheaded in tribulation. So tribulation is not a place for shame for a Christian. It's not a place where Christians should say, oh man, I'm in tribulation because I miss Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 24, if anyone tells you that I came someplace, don't believe them. Because as lightning strikes in the air, that's what my coming is going to be like. Everyone's going to know. The Bible never teaches that anyone's going to get left behind, but it does teach that the door will be shut in our face. It does teach that. It does teach that we can die and go to the Lord, and he will shut that door and say, I never knew you. It teaches that. It teaches that when he comes back to earth and he judges everyone before he enters his kingdom, he will shut the door on people who want to enter in. But it never teaches that when the Lord returns, he's going to leave everyone behind. And I want to say that because I don't know how long it's going to take until we get into the tribulation period. I don't know. But we've got to be willing to die for the Lord. And it may happen. And, you know, I was reading to my daughter about that. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, if we give our body to be burned and have not love, it profits nothing. And that ministers to me because I really struggle with my love being unconditional love. I really struggle with it. It's easy for me to get bitter and it's easy for me to get angry. But, you know, even in that, even as we talk about the reality that we could be in tribulation, I don't want to be. I want the Lord to come back right now. I want to be with the Lord right now. As Paul says, it's better to, you know, it's better to be with Christ. To live is Christ and to die is gain. But it's possible. It's likely that we'll see it. And just because we can go through it and be ready to die and ready to be beheaded, the Bible does teach, though, we're still called to love. And that the mark of a Christian is our mark of love. And that really convicts me of my sin. And let it convict us all that if we give our body to be burned in this fight, if we give our body to be burned in ministry, and we don't love other people, then it doesn't profit anything. It doesn't profit. And so one of the things I want the Lord to bless me with, and I ask that those who are listening, that maybe you can ask the Lord, is to help us love better, to help us love deeper. Because we all have circumstances in our life. We all have fears in our life, pain, trauma, relationships, you know, that can cause us to not hold fast to what Jesus said. And he said, here's my commandment to you, to love one another as I've loved you. So look, I'm again, people are being persecuted right now. The tribulation stuff that's happening to Christians is actually already happening. That's not the wrath of God. The wrath of God is when he returns, Revelation chapter 19, and he treads on the world like someone stepping on wine grapes, the grapes of wrath. It's when he personally comes and judges this world with his own backhand. That's the wrath of God, and he will come and save you and me from that. And if you live right with the Lord, if you follow him, when he returns, you will be with him. He will take you and change you and judge the world with you alongside him. And you'll know the whole time that it's only his grace and his mercy, because he died for you and he died for me. And if he didn't die for us, we'd be getting the same judgment as the world. Remember in Colossians chapter 3, it says to stay away from malice and anger and fornication and covetousness. It says because this is the same reason that God is coming among the children of disobedience. This is the same reason that he's coming towards them. And that's why it says stay away from it. Because when he comes towards the world, we're going to look and say, wow, Lord, that should have been us. We're not going to be like, yeah, get him, Lord. No, we're going to be like, Lord, that should have been me. That should have been me. But he will come for you. He says, if anyone tells you I came ahead of time, anyone tells you I came over here in this part of the world, don't believe them. I'm telling you, we've got this really strange doctrine. The strange doctrine that the Lord is going to come and leave people. But when the Bible teaches something else, the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that those in the tribulation period who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Those in the tribulation period who follow Jesus Christ, even to the point of being beheaded, they will be honored. So if you are a person who believes in Jesus Christ and you find yourself in the tribulation period, you shouldn't be saying, oh my gosh, the Lord doesn't love me. I'm doomed now. I'm left behind. While the Bible teaches that in the tribulation period, there is a place for us to follow and serve him and be a light, it doesn't make any sense. The Lord is not partial towards his people. He's not going to say everyone who believed before tribulation period, they're going to get to have new, brand new bodies and they're special. But everyone who believes in the tribulation period, they're less special. They're going to have to go through my wrath, quote unquote. No, it's not true. It's not true. So, again, this is something that I know is probably difficult to hear, but the end theme of it is prepare to suffer. Prepare. Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation. Prepare to suffer. And this is for my mind, too, in my heart, that the issue, it's spiritual. It's all spiritual. When you look around the world, the Donald Trumps, the issues going on in Syria, all of it is spiritual. It is demonic. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And it encourages us to pray and to be praying and to be waiting for our master's return. Because when Jesus returns, he's not returning to see all this stuff, take us and go retreat. No, you better believe that when Jesus talks about his return in Matthew 24, he's coming and he's changing stuff. He's not coming and just taking his people and hitting out in the back corner at nighttime. No, 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 no. Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. The world will wake up and they will see judgment. They will see Jesus. They will see justice. They will see the glory of God and his son. They will see him. They will see him. And we will be with him. And it has to start now in our hearts. Mine first. Mine included. Mine first. Because I know my heart is more wicked than anyone listening. Mine first. And pray for me as I pray for you in this thread that we all would, that we would start to recognize what's happening on this planet and to call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, Lord. Thank you for making us right with the Father. Thank you for Xing out all of our filth and our junk, not just what we did before we got saved, not just what we did 3 months ago or 3 years ago, but for all the sin of our entire life. As you say in Hebrews, that this one man, every priest stood every day ministering, trying to take away sins, could never take away. But one man came down from heaven and died once and took away sins forever. And he sat down and put his enemies underneath his footstool. So Lord, I just pray that Lord, we would just remember what you've done for us on the cross, that we would look to you, that we would remember your commandment to love, we'd fight to love, Lord, that we would walk in the grace, the helmet of salvation, that we wouldn't beat ourselves up for our mistakes, Lord, that we wouldn't beat ourselves up for our failures, God, that we would remember that you died for us, God, that sin is not the issue, it's your cross, it's your resurrection, it's walking in that, that's the issue, and we all have hope in your Son, Jesus Christ. There's never an excuse to stay down, Lord, because of what Jesus has done for us, God. So please, fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Access in your name. Amen.